If the midterm elections were today, Wisconsin might be electing a new governor and a new U.S. senator. According to yesterday's Marquette University Law School poll, 40% said they'd vote for Democratic Governor Tony Evers, 53% for somebody else. And only 38% said they'd vote for Republican Senator Ron Johnson, 52% said someone else. Among the other highlights, slightly more than half say Wisconsin is going in the wrong direction. About two-thirds say they're very concerned about inflation. 4 in 10 say the same about COVID-19. The poll also got into redistricting, immigration, abortion, and other issues. There's a lot there, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. It's early, but do you plan on voting for Governor Evers? How about Senator Johnson? Are you not sure? Which issues are the most important to you in the state? And as you look ahead to elections, how do you feel about who should draw Wisconsin's legislative maps? How about COVID vaccination mandates? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Charles Franklin is director of the Marquette University Law School Poll and a professor of law and public policy. He's also co-founder of pollster.com and founder of pollsandvotes.com. Charles, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, some bad news for key statewide elected offices for both parties here. Governor Evers, Senator Johnson, not getting great results no matter how you slice it, right?
No, I think that's right. I think the things you summarized earlier, sort of the big takeaways, is voters are somewhat grumpy. They're not excited about the direction the state, or for that matter, the country is headed. And it's showing up in Governor Evers' job approval, which is at 45 approved, 46 disapprove. That's the first time he's been underwater on that measure for a while, though it's very close. But that's down from 50 approve in August and 43 disapprove. So there is a notable drop in his approval ratings. Likewise, on the reelect numbers, since it's not at all clear yet who the candidates are going to be, we asked this question in the form of, would you vote to reelect Evers or Johnson, or would you vote for somebody else? So Evers at 40% reelect, Johnson at 38%, both of them over 50% vote for someone else, is showing that they have a base of support that they can probably count on, but that base is well short of 50%. Now, whenever you offer somebody the known incumbent against somebody else, voters can imagine the most wonderful somebody else in the world. And so this is not in any way a projection of where the election would turn out, but it gives us a way of looking at the foundations of support for Evers and Johnson. Both are still holding on to their partisans pretty well and are being massively opposed by the other party. But among independents, they're not doing that well, and that's one of the reasons we see them a little weak on this measure.
Now, I kept scrolling through looking for the person or institution that people in Wisconsin had an overall favorable approval rating for. I keep scrolling all day, right, and not find that.
You could scroll till next month. We asked about 7 different political figures of both parties. And for the first time in 67 polls that we've done, not one of them was more favorable than unfavorable. Now, that ranged from just a little underwater. Tammy Baldwin was at 38 favorable, 39 unfavorable, so just a 1-point difference there, to much more considerable unfavorable balance, Trump at 38 favorable, 57 unfavorable. But it's still striking that that was true of both parties and president, a former president, 2 vice presidents we asked about, and Governor Evers. So really, really, this is back to the voters are a little grumpy right now, and they're really not enthused at the moment with any of their political leaders.
Right, because a lot of times you might say, oh, Democrats are doing better now and Republicans are doing worse, or Republicans are doing better, Democrats are doing worse. Have you seen this kind of everybody's not looking so pretty? You said it's been a long time or never you've seen everybody underwater like that.
Right. And, you know, part of it is that there's usually been one particular person who's pretty popular. And so that's part of the story. But I think it's surprising that if I told you ahead of time that Tony Evers was at 40% reelect, given the polarization of the state, you might think, well, therefore, Ron Johnson must be at 60% reelect, right? It must be just a partisan split. But instead, we see them both, Evers at 40, Johnson at 38. That's what's telling you that they're not doing that well with independents, because, again, they're both holding on to their bases at least pretty well. But independents are not in a mood to back either of these two incumbents at this point. And again, we have a full year to go. In fact, a good perspective is look back to 2015. Ron Johnson in 2015 had his lowest net favorability ratings in the history of the polling until now, but crept back, getting more and more popular all the way through the 2016 election cycle, and converted a summer trailing in the polls to getting better and better and better, and ultimately beats Russ Feingold in November of 2016. So this is why we keep polling between now and November, but it's also why you want to keep an eye on these things and see how they track over time. Maybe people will get more optimistic about politicians in the country. Maybe they'll get worse. And maybe partisan advantage will start to show up, whereas what we're seeing is both parties seem to be not faring that well, especially with independents.
Talking to Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette University Law School poll, about their latest survey of Wisconsin. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Catherine is with us in Milwaukee. Catherine, hi.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Catherine?
Well, I wanted to say I'm 1,000% behind Evers because he is doing his job. And I have to tell you, I'm quite sick of all this early polling. What we need to do is be educating the electorate to be responsible citizens. It's too fickle what you're polling about. And in the time, I mean, I don't care about partisanship and division. I care about issues and concern of the electorate. And this is why the country is in so much trouble. We're focused on media highlighting division, rather than what is our responsibility to our families, to our children, to our country in governing. And the issue for me is we have so many people, Ron Johnson among them, who don't believe in government. And so, but they want to be in these positions to control the people who do.
Catherine, thanks for the call. Charles, we can get into some of the issues you polled on earlier, but what do you think of that idea that reporting these polls in kind of stark terms may reinforce some of our partisan divide?
Well, you'll be surprised to know that as a pollster, I believe polling has a value to contribute. So I'm afraid Catherine and I are not going to agree on that one. I would encourage her and everyone to look at the poll results, because you ran down close to a dozen of the issues we asked about, and I want to stress that this poll has many more questions about public policy issues than it has about horse races. And so it's natural that we start talking about the horse race and about the candidates' favorability and that sort of thing. But we have a lot of questions on here, and I'm afraid that they're often lost in the conversation and, the limited amount of time that we have to talk about them. I'd also push back on this point that if we don't have polling, the only people who are going to tell you what the public thinks are going to be the self-interested politicians and interest groups who pay for their own private polling and then talk about it. So, again, in the defense of pollsters here, we're trying our best to give an even-handed look at public opinion that's not coming from parties or politicians or interest groups.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Let's look at one of the issues you polled on. You asked people, this is a hot topic with the WPR podcast that's sweeping the state, mapped out. Redistricting. You asked people what they thought about how we draw the lines that determine who represents what district. What did you find out?
Well, for the third time in 3 years, we find that over 60% would prefer that redistricting be done by a nonpartisan commission. Just 25% think the legislature and governor should do it, and about 15% say they don't know. We've asked this question in 2019, in 2020, and now we've asked it again, and it's been over 60% each time. I think the most striking figure about this, though, is that support for nonpartisan districting is at 62% among Republicans, 63% with independents, and 64% with Democrats. That is a stunningly even distribution of support for nonpartisan districting, regardless of people's partisanship, but it contrasts starkly with the partisan divisions over the actual process of redistricting that we're seeing. The other side of this is that as important as redistricting is, and as much as it's been talked about and as much as activists have been involved with it, only 39% say they're following the process closely or fairly closely, and 60% say not too much or not at all. So the problem of the public not being engaged on the issue is also part of why we don't see any change in the process of districting.
We're finding out how Wisconsin residents feel about key political figures and key issues. Charles Franklin is with us, a professor of law and public policy at Marquette University, director there of the Marquette University Law School poll. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the job our elected officials are doing in general or particular ones? Is Wisconsin, is the country on the right or wrong track? And which issue do you follow most closely? The economy, COVID, education, immigration, redistricting? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation, hear from some more of you coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about the latest findings in yesterday's Marquette University Law School poll, asking how Wisconsin voters feel about Governor Evers, Senator Johnson, President Biden, and more, plus issues including immigration, inflation, COVID-19, and more. Charles Franklin is with us, director of that poll. Let's go back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Torsten is with us in Janesville. Torsten, hi.
Hi. I have a question about that private polling that you were kind of just referencing. I got a call just a couple days ago asking me if I wanted to do a political survey, and so I started it, and everything seemed normal, and then the questions started to skew more and more, and it felt like the questions were trying to influence my answers. And by the end, I asked, you know, where did this poll come from, and said something about the Republican something or other, and it made me wonder, what's the difference between a poll that's being funded by a partisan group like that and a private poll, and how can I know the difference as somebody who's getting the phone call, and then how those results are being used in media?
That's a great question. Thank you. There are two ways, or let's say three ways. One is some calls that masquerade as polls are really advertising polls trying to push you, and we call those push polls. I don't think that sounds like what you heard the other day. Campaigns and parties often do what they call message testing within the poll. And in that, they sort of state the best case for that candidate, maybe the worst case against the other candidate, or even they test their own weaknesses and the other guy's strengths, other candidate's strengths. Those are, within the polling profession, seen as perfectly legitimate things to try to ask, because you do want to know how voters react to particular messages or positions. But from the point of view of you as a respondent, it may very much sound like they're trying to influence your opinion, because in a sense they are, to find out what influences you, not that they're really trying to change your position in a permanent way. So it's very, very hard as the innocent respondent at home to know the difference. I will say, to their credit, when you asked who was doing the poll, they apparently gave you at least an indication of it. State law requires people, pollsters, to say who their sponsors are. But for a lot of polls done for political purposes, They'll give you the name of the organization, but it's something nondescript, and no one would know who that is and who they're working for. And that's a problem, I think. For nonpartisan polls, media polls, or university polls like mine, the very first things we say when we call is, I'm calling on behalf of Marquette University. And so you know right up front that it's us calling. But if you're a campaign, you don't want to call and say, I'm calling on behalf of the Evers campaign or on behalf of the Johnson campaign, because that could obviously skew your results. So this is a problem with polling and what is revealed to the respondent and what's not.
Torsten, thanks for the call. We're going out to John in Luck. John, hello.
Hello. Hello.
Yep. What'd you want to bring up, John?
I'm of an age where I remember the silent majority, and I'm wondering about either the Republicans or the Democrats if these negative numbers at 38% really just reflect the base, the bases that have solidified, and in this case, high negatives, and what is driving the outcomes are what we used to call in the old days the silent majority, who may be moving because the results, even not only in Wisconsin but in the Virginia and New Jersey, for example, on Tuesday, there was a massive swing, and it sounds to me like it's those people that the pollsters don't get, or that who are independent, and we don't hear about them as much.
John, thanks. The silent majority, the thought that, hey, maybe there are some people out there that we aren't measuring well enough who surprise us on Election Day, Charles.
No, I think that's a good point. And, you know, pointing to Virginia and New Jersey is a terrific point, because Biden won those states pretty handily by 6 or 7, I think, in Virginia, by 16 or so in New Jersey. And you get, you know, swings of 7 to maybe as much as 15 or so percent in those two. That is a great example that looking at the last election and believing this election will be just like that is really wrong. What we have in our data is about 40% who say they're independents, though of those, only about 9% say they're independent and don't lean towards either party. But that 9% can be a critical balance in a state that's divided, in our data, again, 30% Republican to 29% Democratic. We're right on the knife's edge there. And so 9% can make a difference. If you also look at those people that are independents and lean to a party, most of the time they vote with that party. That's true. But they don't vote as loyally as pure partisans. So in one sense, their votes are up for grabs too. It's just that maybe among that group, they only go 75% with the party they lean to instead of 85% with that party. But there again is enough movement to make a difference. And in Wisconsin, 4 of the last 6 presidential races were decided by under a single percentage point. The governor's race was decided by 1.1 percentage points in 2018. So I think there's lots of room for swing at the margin. And then finally, there's the thing of turnout. A mobilized electorate can make up for a lot if the mobilization is on one side.
Thanks for that call. I want to check out a couple more issues before we run out of time. One concern about inflation. What did you find out when you asked people about that?
Inflation concern is quite high and getting higher. 64% said they were very concerned about it, and another 28% somewhat concerned. So that puts us up to 92% significantly concerned. And that's up from August when it was 49% very concerned. So this is an issue that hasn't been before us for really several decades. But now it's back, and it is definitely getting the public's attention. An obvious question is how long it continues to see significant inflation. And inflation of all the economic issues is the one that every citizen experiences when they fill up their gas tank or go to the grocery store or buy their kids' clothes. So it can be a potent issue, and right now it's one with really a lot of concern in the public.
And the U.S. Supreme Court hearing an abortion case earlier this week, another one coming up next month. You asked about abortion briefly, and just our last, we've got a minute. What did you find out?
61% say abortion should be legal in most or all situations. 34% say it should be illegal in most or all cases. We've asked this question 11 different times since 2012, and it hasn't moved by more than a couple of percentage points from poll to poll, with no trend up or down for either side of the abortion issue.
And, just a few moments left. How about immigration?
Immigration concern, illegal immigration, has risen slightly. It's at 43% very concerned, up from 37 in August, well behind inflation, but still pretty significant. And concern about COVID is at 40% very concerned. So there you see the pandemic maybe dropping behind these other two issues as top concerns for the public.
Charles, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Rob.
That's Charles Franklin, professor of law and public policy at Marquette University, director of the Marquette University Law School poll. We talked to him about the survey that came out yesterday. It shows only about 40% of registered voters would vote to reelect Governor Evers, they say, and just 38% say that about Senator Johnson.